Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 205 of the Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That is gaming for the elderly. Today is February 5th, 2013. I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, and co-hosting this week, Mr. Mike Chin.
I had a feeling he was going to pick me first. So, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you something about this podcast, Greg.
Yes, Mike.
The loudest that it gets, I've noticed when I've edited the show, is the very start when you go, "Hey, everybody!" That's the loudest point.
It does. I try to bring the energy early,
you go, because and then you just
it does.
Then
yeah.
It just goes away. Then
it does.
You see the waves of sound slowly decrease as we get tighter and tighter, and then it just fades away.
Well, you know what? This week, I will try and
bring it up.
Entire time. How's that?
Lots
yes, we're going to raise the roof.
Yep. All right. Cool.
All right.
Yeah.
You done?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Good.
How are you? You all right?
Excellent. I'm brilliant.
Great. How's America?
America's feeling great because Christopher Matthew on the show this week.
Yes. Yes, I'm back. Back from my austere location in North Carolina, back in New York for now.
Yes, with the sensual tones of
the dulcet,
the new improved
soothing
yes.
tones of the actual microphone.
Yes, so much better, so much better. Also on the show this week, Mr. Richard Primrose.
Yo!
When I said,
I'll be the loudest on this podcast this week.
The thing is, Rich, when you shout, your microphone like crackles or some weird shit, so you remain quiet. Or buy a new headset thing.
The irony of this is Rich and I actually pre-show were having a conversation about our wives and arguments, and in his house, the loudest person wins.
Yep.
Isn't that correct, Rich?
Yep.
Yeah. I hate to see – I'm afraid, I should say. I'm afraid to hear what your wife sounds like when she's angry.
Yep. And that led to the recital of the classic Jack Nicholson – clip from As Good As It Gets, where
yes.
he was asked to explain how he portrays women so well. But I'll not say any more, because we have got female listeners. But I
find we do.
It is very funny. Yeah. It's humour.
Yeah, humour.
Both sexes
we like humor.
Have a sense of humour. That's a good thing. Like it.
it is a good thing.
Yes. Everybody,
right.
Everybody happy?
We are.
We've got a full house today. This is
yeah,
everyone's here. No one's got some weird shit connection in God knows where.
No weird shit connections here. Everybody's excited. Everybody's pumped up. I'm going to completely kill that right now because we're talking news quiz, guys.
Oh, my shit. God.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
All right, straight into this week's news. Here we go. Mike Chin, you are up first because you talked last.
Shit.
Yes. What mainstream gaming website was sold off to J2 Global via Ziff Davis? Was it A, GameSpot, B, IGN, or Joystick?
Joystick.
I'm sorry to say no.
GameSpot.
IGN and its related sites have been acquired by J2 Global through its Ziff Davis subsidiary. So there's some craziness here, though, because if you understand, Ziff Davis, it was at the heart of this deal, was acquired by J2 Global back in late 2012 after Ziff Davis's financial difficulty and bankruptcy. So Ziff Davis went under. They got acquired. And IGN split off from Ziff Davis,
and then IGN bought One Up.
Full circle.
One Up used to Ziff Davis used to own One Up. Yep. And then they let him go, and then IGN bought One. This is weird.
Yes,
I don't understand.
I'm thinking IGN's going to become the new MTV.
So is IGN getting bigger or smaller?
I think they're going to get bigger
because they're massive. Bigger. Over the last 5 years, they've become huge.
Yes, they have. But they really are delving into a lot of other areas beyond
YouTube,
just gaming.
YouTube is the thing. Movies, they're going to be on movies. Internet stuff. Yep.
Yeah.
So.
All right, next question, Mr. Primrose.
Oh.
What game charted number one last week in the UK top 10?
How
is it
A?
Well, you should. Man, Come on, this is what we do.
Come on, man.
What we do, man. All right, is it A, Ni No Kuni, B, FIFA 13, or C, Call of Duty Black Ops 2?
I'll help you out. It's probably not Ni No Kuni or whatever the shit that is.
And that's probably that's the only new game, isn't it?
Yeah, but no one cares about that.
That's bizarre. Well,
I just like making people angry, Greg. A lot of people, because I know a lot of people are very passionate about Ni No Kuni or whatever it is.
Yep.
A friend of mine included, so I just like to wind him up and say, it's dumb shit.
It's dumb shit. Okay.
That's back of the
box. Rich.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm gonna take a stab. It's a stab with reason. Black Ops 2 stab. Revolution.
So look at
Black
album
Ops
name.
Black Ops 2 Revolution DLC pack came out this week. So I would take a guess that a lot of people who may have traded it in might have gone back out there and bought it and then got the DLC. How's that,
see?
Greg?
That's good, Rich. This is why we bring in the expertise of our podcast crew for everybody to listen to. So here's the top 10. Here's the rundown. Number 10, Skyrim. Number 9, Hitman Absolution. At 8, Just Dance 4. Number 7, Need for Speed Most Wanted. Number 6, Assassin's Creed 3. Number 5, the Hitman HD Trilogy. Number 4, Far Cry 3. At number 3, Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
Fuck you, Greg.
At number 2, FIFA 13. And at number 1, Ni No Kuni.
Fuck you, Greg. Fuck you, Greg, for making me think I was smart.
Weird shit.
Yeah, hey, apparently the game is quite popular.
Greg.
I blame that Stuart Fowler cloning program that went on during the 70s. Lots of little Stuart Fowler clones went out.
Can you imagine that? That's like a nightmare I'd have.
That is a nightmare scenario.
I mean, what do you like Azura's Wrath, Chinny? What do you like Azura's Wrath, Chinny? Pretty much what it is.
Chris, you are up next.
Okay. Why don't you like Azura's Wrath, Chinny?
It's weird and shit.
Expert
all right.
opinion.
All right.
Expert.
All right, Mr. Matthew. What date is Sony set to hold a special press conference for investors and the press media in New York City, where a lot of the rumor mill is saying there are strong indications they're going to reveal the PlayStation 4?
PlayStation 4.
Is it A, February 17th, B, February 20th, or C, February 23rd?
I have no idea, so I'm going to go in the middle with B, February 20th.
And this, my friends, this, my UK brethren, is how you do news.
You just take a wild-ass guess, and sometimes...
February 20th, yes. Sony sent out emails to the press, press media and investors inviting them to see the future.
And
they included a little trailer at 6 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday, February 20th. So that is a day to mark on the calendar. Apparently they're going to live stream the event as well. So a lot of people are speculating. Michael Pachter as well has gone on record saying he's 100% sure they're going to announce the PS4, which pretty much means they probably won't. But,
yeah. Yeah, he just like jinxes everything, doesn't he, Michael Pachter?
Yeah. I have to think, though, at this point, there's so much hype around this thing now.
It's got to be.
They kind of have to.
Yeah, true. If they don't know, oh, my God, they're going to look stupid.
Speaking of stupid things, Mike, the Ouya.
So what? Oh, right, okay.
Ouya.
Okay, that was mean of me. The Ouya, though, Mike, has announced when it's going to be hitting retail shelves.
Okay.
Now, it's not a specific date, mind you, but it is a month. So, Mike, is it going to be hitting retail shelves in June, September, or November of this year?
I reckon Nov.
I'm sorry, what?
Nov.
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 That would be November for those.
Yeah.
Wanted to, yeah. No, Mike, I'm sorry. It is June. Jeez. June 2013. Yeah.
Because it's the best time for like that type of thing. It's going to get dominated if it comes out in Nov.
Yeah.
Well, makes sense. Should have thought about that more, really.
According to the CEO, she says, we don't need to beat Xbox or Sony or any console that enters the marketplace. We need to carve out our own niche. So Ouya offers a very different value proposition to the gaming you can currently experience.
Fair point. See how it pans out, though.
Yeah.
Not really 100% sure who's...
Ouya. It's a strange way to spell that.
Ouya.
Which is just a strange word.
Also true. All right. Rich, I believe we're coming back around to you. So the ESA, that's Entertainment Software Association, is holding a contest for students to create games. The top five games will get an opportunity to show off their games at what event? Is it A, GDC 2013, B, E3 2013, or C, Gamescom 2013?
Oh, GDC is for game developers, isn't it? So I'm going to go. I'm going to go for GDC.
Rich, I'm sorry.
Oh, for God's sake, Gregors.
It's E3. They're going to take the top five games from over 400 schools that are participating, and they'll get to be able to show off their games at E3.
That's a stupid way of doing it.
I will let them know. All right, and last question goes to Mr. Matthew. This is a little bit of breaking news, if you will, but what was the name of Sony's former ad agency whom they just, as of today, announced they are cutting ties with? Is it A, Deutsche Advertising, B, BBH, or C, Zenith Media?
Deutsche Advertising, BBH, or Zenith Media, huh? Isn't that how you say it in Britain?
Yes.
Zenith.
That's my.
Man, I haven't a clue. Deutsch, DDH, or Zenith? How about Deutsch?
On fire,
makes
Mr.
perfect sense for a Japanese company to have a German ad agency. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. No, yeah, they are cutting ties from Deutsch. Basically, the people that made the Marcus ads. We all love the Marcus ads. Come on. They are gone.
Step your game up.
Yeah, they're going with the new firm, which is BBH, or also known as Bogle Hargitay New York.
Bogle.
Yeah, go figure. These are the people that did the Chrome web browser advertising, the Axe body spray, and Coca-Cola Sprite ads. So expect to see something a little different from PlayStation coming forward. Now the exciting part, guys. So I knew the news quiz was a little short this week, so I decided to add a little wrinkle onto the end of the news quiz.
Okay.
That's what happens when you get old, Greg. They have pills for that.
You will pay for that, Mr. Matthew. You will pay for that.
Not likely.
It's achievement quiz time.
Yay, achievement.
So I went through all three of your games recently played.
Oh, shit.
And I have pulled
out... You know
what
I've recently discovered? Some of the games I've been playing of late have been fucking dire.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So I have... I've selected three games from each of you, or I should say three achievements. They're all different games, so it's not a repeat of, you know, like, you know, Black Ops 2, you know, three achievements from that game. Okay. But you've all earned these achievements.
Individual achievements from individual games.
Yes. I'm going to read you the achievement with the description.
Okay.
So it very well could give it away within the description.
Okay.
And then you have to tell me the game.
All right.
So Mike, I'm going to give you the first one.
We can do this every week.
We could.
You
see, that's the beauty of this.
But you could.
Probably not. Most likely. Mike,
hello.
The achievement is called So Lonely at the Top.
Shit.
Won and had the highest score in a match-made skirmish game on Xbox Live. What game is that from?
What sort of tenuous link is this?
So Lonely at the Top. So Lonely at the Top. Very tempted to look at what games we've been playing. I can't even remember. Are we doing the honor system of just not looking at?
Of course, we should be doing the honor system.
The
reasonable time frame to answer would also be.
I'll go with my gut instinct. Halo 4. I don't really know.
It was a good gut instinct. Wrong game.
Wrong.
Halo Wars.
Fuck.
Yeah, yes. I had a feeling game Halo Wars.
Love. Yes. So, Rich, you're up next.
Please let me an achievement one.
The achievement
is
Treasure Hunter.
Yeah.
It's collect 10 legendary treasures.
Huh.
What game is that?
You see, you tried to trick me there, Greg. You tried to trick me because you knew I probably wasn't playing this game. Didn't you?
Yeah, and this is something I was going to point out, Rich. You have little minions like bloating your gamer score for you.
Yeah, damn right. That's right.
What game is that from, Rich?
We can't afford no family pass around here, mate. I'm telling you that. That's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. I would say that's got to be Skylander Giants.
Wrong.
Oh, you motherfucker!
Wrong.
Skylanders,
indeed. The first Skylanders.
You know what? He had his mate around for a sleepover, and I bet he went retro on my ass.
Chris, you are up next. Your achievement recently
played.
You
sort of bastard. Then.
No, I didn't say that. It was afterwards. I would never do that, Michael. I'm virtually prodding your chest now. Can you feel that?
Right, through the internet,
Through the internet.
It's good.
Chris, here we go. Your achievement is Bada Boom. Kill 50 aliens with explosive weapons.
Yeah, that one's XCOM.
Come on. Even I guess that. I've never even seen the achievements for the game.
I got that one
His achievements will become more difficult as it goes on because he has not been playing as nearly as much Xbox. All right, Mike, coming back to you. No, this is all off of Xbox.
Yeah, no one cares about Steam.
Mike, Through the Looking Glass, completed Chapter 7, The Rabbit Hole.
Son of a bitch.
I've heard of that one. I can remember that.
Is it Alice Madness Returns?
No.
No, Mike, I'm afraid not. Is it Brothers in Arms Hell's Highway.
Oh, fuck.
All right, moving over. Yeah, Rich.
Sucks, Greg. I'm going to do this to you next week. This is bollocks.
Rich, your achievement, In Cold Blood, complete a wanted dead quest.
Oh, that's Far Cry 3.
Yes. Far Cry 3. There you go.
God for that.
Mr. Matthew, your achievement, The Challenged, completed a challenge.
The Challenge completed a challenge.
Johnny Vague.
See. I'm trying to think recently of games that I've played with challenges, and I can only think of two, so I'm going to go with one of them. And I'm going to say it's Halo 4.
That sounds like a racing game or something.
It's a good guess. Halo 4, indeed. Yes, Halo 4. The Challenged completed a challenge. All right, Mike, back to you.
You know why I'm not good at this? Because I've got so many fucking achievements.
Yes. and this actually kind of fits right into that. I've got so much. Because your achievement, cha-ching. All
right.
Find a diagram word in a round.
What? Oh, Wordament.
Yes, there you go.
That almost threw me then. I was like, shit, of course I get achievements for those games. Is there any more games on the iPhone that you can get achievements for?
I don't know. I think that was the first for an iPhone.
Yeah, for an iPhone. There is a Skulls of the Shogun does Windows 8 phone.
Oh, yeah. I was going to try that. I forgot about that. Yeah, people have been going on about that.
All right, Rich, your last question, and you need to get this to at least cement a possible tie with Mr. Matthew. True Carney. Achieve gold on all carnival games.
Holy mother of God. This is one of their Kinect fodder.
This is where your kids are not helping you.
Carnival games. I'm going to go for carnival games. Jesus, this is terrible.
Never played that.
This probably ain't right, but no, actually, I don't think you get achievements for Happy Action Theater, do you? Or do you? What was that?
I don't know.
Connect Party thing, that was a freebie, wasn't it? Christmas.
Isn't that the double form one, the Happy Action?
Yeah, and the Connect Party was the follow-up that Microsoft paid for him to do, which is like a souped-up version of it. It's not one of the dancing games. I'm going to have to go, because there's no need for us to be dwelling this long on the Kinect game. The Kinect Party game, the one that was free at Christmas.
I'm sorry, Rich. No. It is Toy Story 3.
Holy mother of God.
Yep, Toy Story 3. It was a 25-point achievement unlocked.
You know why that was as well? Me and J-Boy P were having an in-depth conversation about Disney Infinity, and I was telling him all about how it's based around the toy box mode in Toy Story 3. So I bet he got his ass upstairs, and he got Toy Story 3 out because he was all excited, and he popped another bloody achievement.
Oh.
Damn.
Bless him. All right, Chris, this is for like the glory here. You would be 3 for 3 if you get this one right.
Oh, dear.
Dragon Slayer completed the mission Best Minion Ever.
Oh, Borderlands 2.
Nicely done. I thought that might throw you off. I thought you'd go for Skyrim on that.
No, yes. The little clap too. It's like, good job, Minion.
Yeah. All right. Well, we can expect more of that because that was fun.
That's quite fun, actually.
Especially for me.
Well done, Greg.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for the news quiz.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Done with that nonsense. I suppose we can talk about some new releases. All right, so new releases this week. On the Wii and the Wii U.
You gotta remind yourself that thing's there, right?
I know, you do. There is nothing on the retail shelves, but there is something in the Wii E shop thingamabobber. It's Fist of the North Star Ken's Rage 2. For the Wii U.
Cool.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. Game of the year.
Voice. On the 3DS this week, Brain Age Concentration Training comes out.
Right.
So a little love for Nintendo. On the PS Triple this week, you've got Dead Space 3, Sly Cooper, Thieves in Time. Both hitting the retail shelves. And then on the PSN, you've got Bentley's Hack Pack, Dead Space 3, Fist of the North Star 2, Ken's Rage, Mensa Academy, Sly Cooper Thieves in Time, and DLC, you've got Scott Pilgrim vs. the World Online Multiplayer and Wallace Pack coming out this week. PS Vita sees Sly Cooper Thieves in Time slip into the retail shelves, and PSN-wise, you can get Bentley's Hack Pack and Sly Cooper Thieves in Time for your PS Vita. Over to the Xbox 360, you've got Dead Space 3, Fist of the North Star Ken's Rage 2, Fist of the North Star Ken's Rage 2, and Special Forces Team X, both coming to Xbox Live Arcade this week.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to figure it out. We'll have to check it out. Yeah. DLC this week, Forza Horizon February Jalapenic Pack comes out, and Scott Pilgrim vs. the World Online Multiplayer and Wallace Pack comes out this week as well. On the PC and Mac, well, basically just all PC this week, Dead Space 3, The Elder Scrolls Skyrim Dragonborn DLC comes out this week, and Special Forces Team X, as well as Street Fighter X Tekken Character DLC Pack, all coming out for PC this week as well. And that's it for your new releases.
What you been playing? What you been playing? What you been playing? What have you been playing?
It's time to talk games, guys.
Yeah, games. The reason why we're all here.
It is the reason we're all here. That's all I had to say.
That's deep.
Mike, Let's talk games. What have you been playing?
Right, so I played the Dead Space 3 demo.
Okay.
Gregor's.
What'd you think?
I liked it. I like it.
Did you get a chance to play a co-op by chance?
No, I did not. I did not. Okay. And I don't wish to.
Boy, spilled me out last week.
Well, I could have played you this week, but insert excuse here. So
all you have to do is send me a message.
So I played the Dead Space 3 thing, and right. I slipped up really because I wasn't thinking like a person that should be playing a scary game, because I played Dead Space 1 and 2 and I liked them. But you're constantly on edge, right, in these games. So I'm walking around, and I'm not in Dead Space mode. And of course, one of the tropes in these games is dead body on the floor comes alive.
Right.
Right, and it scared the fucking Jesus out of me. Like, oh fuck! All right, and killed it, and fine, brilliant. So I learned a lesson there, and I got into Dead Space mode.
I think that the one that jump scared me the most, I think, was the one that where the zombie comes out of the snowy fog.
That's the very first contact, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, just after that, I should go left a bit into a cave.
Right.
That's kind of where I jumped. But anyway, one of my pet peeves in monster slash zombie type games is when the zombie slash monsters start picking up guns and shooting you, which happens in this game. And I wasn't into that. And then I thought, Halo does it. And because the game's very stressful, right? I was getting very stressed playing it. And I've got very stressed playing 1 and 2, and I suppose that's the point. But now they have guns? Fuck off! Right? just let them run at me, at least. But then you've got they threw another curveball at me. American reference. Oh, Greg, I did that one for you.
It's good. That was good.
Another curveball with the old, some people want to kill you who are human now.
Yeah. That was a bit confusing to start off with as well.
I'm just an engineer on a ship, and I got rid of a marker because it was fucked up.
I think this also, though, is maybe one of the faults of it being the demo, like, because it's not starting off at the very beginning of the game. Clearly, this is happening a little ways into the game. I believe that is the case, yes. So I think they've set the demo a little ways into the game, so some of the background story is probably missing. As in, why the guys hate you?
In short, I was willing to kind of forgive them a little bit with the shooting, because when they started to pick up guns and stuff, and like the monsters, and I was like, oh, okay, fine. Like, this game is very, very difficult and stressful, and it's not good for heart attacks. But right, okay, fine. Because the end of Dead Space 2 really like messed me up. Where that basic the enemy that doesn't die follows you all the way through, well, through the end bit.
Right.
And that really messed me up. And, like, that's the last memory I have of Dead Space 2. And the fact that I got to the last boss with no ammo and I had to redo that whole section again. Oh, God. So, yeah, I wasn't a big fan of the last time I played Dead Space 2, but I still enjoy it. It's a survival horror game. It's the point. It's the reason why we go on roller coasters and so on. So, and then they started shooting. And I was like, oh, no. But the whole, like, you're killing humans, because the way you shoot, you know, the way that your weapon works, you know, going horizontal and vertical, and the other weapon as well, it just doesn't feel right shooting normal people. It feels to cut the things.
Here's a funny thing, Mike. So if you remember back in Dead Space 2, there was a moment when you came across a human force and they actually were trying to kill you.
Really?
Yes, there's a bunch of guards out in this waiting room area as you're kind of funneling down into it. There's a bunch of soldiers, they were all set up, and you have to kind of run to an open doorway. You can't shoot them.
Right.
You really can't fight against them. And you had to get in there. And then once you got into that doorway, basically it was one of those, the lights go down and the monsters came out and killed everybody situation. So you walk back out and they're all dead.
Right.
But they set the stage for that human thing. And I remember thinking back at Dead Space 2, I really wanted to have the firefight with those guys because it seemed like Dead Space 2 was really set up with the cover working so well to have some good firefights. But that never happened in Dead Space 2.
Because the cover didn't work well at all, like I thought in the demo. I wasn't happy with it. I didn't like that. And I hope they don't do it very often because that's going to kill the game. The whole co-op thing, like I suppose like if I could be bothered, I'd play it in co-op. Like my co-op buddy, Marsh, isn't a Dead Space fan. So I'm not going to play it with him. And I don't really play my Xbox too often anyway. So I don't really know who I'm going to commit with. To the co-op stuff. So, but if I, you know,
Rich is screaming right now.
I mean, there's no one really around that likes Dead Space. So,
last time I was on for a co-op with you was Portal 2, and then I got blown out for Duke. So, you get Duke to stop being scared of scaredy things. Let's.
I'll tell you what, Rich. If you want to do Dead Space 3 co-op, that's fine by me. We can do that.
I don't think I'll be getting it quickly, to be honest with you.
No, nor will I. Mm. I'll be renting it. I'll be renting it, and then when I've got it on rental, I'll text you and say, I've got it.
Okay, and
then,
that sounds good.
And
that
you can, good. Like, text me and say, all right, well, I'll get it rented or something.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a date. Right, so me and Rich will play it. I'll play it co-op with Rich, so I can be scared with somebody else.
I feel like I just played the dating game. I set you guys up, and it's like a match.
Ooh, Valentine's Day!
All right, what else, Mike? What else have you been playing?
I played Cabela's Deadliest Hunts.
You love just picking the random ones, don't you? You have fun with that, I can tell.
Oh, fuck.
I get the feeling you liked it.
I haven't really thought about what I thought about it, to be honest.
When animals attack.
So, basically, it should be called How to... Extinct Hunter 3 or something, because you just seek out very rare animals and they attack you in fucking drones and you have to shotgun them in the face.
There's only 20 of these animals left on the planet.
Yeah, and they're all trying to eat your face. And then, so I'll explain what happened, right? I'll just walk you through because I'm not sure what I think of it. Right, you start off and there's a story mode, which I found great. So you start story mode, brilliant. And you're this kind of Nathan Drake type guy. And you talk to a guy on the intercom, and he's saying to you, get out of there, you've got to get out of there. And I was like, I'm hunting shit, aren't I? Like, why? I'm supposed to be here. Like, I travelled thousands of miles to be here, to hunt. Why are you telling me to get out? Right, anyway. Fine.
Going to die.
So you, when you aim at an animal, right, it'll do this thing where you got to hold your breath like every sniper rifle kind of does. And then it'll show you, like, the vital organ. So in different animals, the vital organ that you need to shoot through is in different places. So for the lion, it's the brain. And then for the – what was the other one? There's something – like a tiger, it was the heart. And if you get them in the vital organ, like they're – bang, instantly dead, like no problem. And all the other prides scatter and they'll attack you like bit by bit and you can handle them more.
So you take out the leader basically.
Sorry?
Taking out the leader?
Yeah. Kinda. So you take out the male of the pack, you know, the king. So that kinda happened, and then you walk through and you do it a bit, and what happened, you press the RB buttons to do a side roll. So, you know, Gears, you press A to do a forward roll.
Right, right.
You press RB and LB to do at least a side roll. So when they charge you and they jump you, they just do this comedic kind of like leap into midair where if you do it like a side roll. Right. And if an lion attacks you from behind, like a little prompt will come up to press B and the slow motion thing come up and you have to shoot it. The lions just come, right, and they just do not go away. There's like, you know, when you feel like you've got like a pace of enemy, like a wave of enemy, even in Dead Space, you know, you can't, you know, maybe another one's going to come here, maybe another one's come here. And it got to the point where I just went, I'm running because this is ridiculous. And then I dropped it, and they did it like a lot of Call of Duty stuff where it takes control of the camera and you're falling down and all this stuff. You could tell that I got a feeling that the people who made this game would be surprised that I told them that I played this game. They go, oh, you played that game? Really? Because it's such a weird thing. So anyway, I dropped down into this swamp, and all of a sudden, ow, red screen. Look, what? Alligators. Great. Brilliant. Okay. So I'm shooting the shit out of these alligators. And the problem with alligators, they're low, and they're in high grass. And the clever fuckers, that I can't see them, and they're green, which also is another bonus for them. Evolution is winning here. So I'm running. I'm just like, forget this. Running. And then the biggest thing went straight in front of me and hit me and ran me over. And it was like a boss fight. A fucking, the biggest hippo you have ever in your life.
And I do believe that there is some truth to the fact that hippos, I guess, are quite dangerous out in the wild.
If
like if you're in a boat in wild in water,
life, which it could be, it probably is. I'm not really aware of how big they are. I would run a fucking mile. Oh my god! Like it just smacked me right in the face, and I didn't even see it coming. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm shooting hippos now. And my gosh, what a weird game to play. Apparently there's a co-op mode, so Rich, if you're up for it. Cabela's Dangerous Hunts, a very bizarre game, which I'm still tempted to play in a way, because I don't know why. Like, I'm a glutton for punishment, because I've been playing Deadly Premonition as well. And I looked at my love film list of recent games I've played. And there's been some shockers, really. The last decent one was Assassin's Creed 3. And everything else has been just appalling.
Mike, we all know this.
I know, sorry. I have sleeping dogs now. I have got sleeping dogs now, so that's better. But so today what happened, I was playing Deadly Premonition, and I was playing away. And, fucking hell. Right, so, you know, like they're kind of weird possessed people bend over backwards in Deadly Premonition, and you have to shoot them. And when you kill them, they go, "Don't want to die." That's what they say, right? And it's a bit weird. And I could handle it, you know, because they're very slow, and the game's weird. Fine. And I kind of looked away for a bit while the cutscene was going. I come back and I had no idea what was going on. And then all of a sudden, guess what? The monsters had shotguns.
It happens.
Right? So we got fucking monsters with shotguns, like the same pet peeve I had in Dead Space 3. I was like, and they, 3 kills, you're dead. And I did it. I still did the bit. And I was like, you know what? I don't have time for this. Like, this is shit. Like, I've really tried so hard to play the game. And I've just got, it's awful. It's really bad. So I took it out. And with Love Film, I don't know what Gamefly is like, but you have to put it in an envelope and seal it. And I forced myself to put the game in the envelope and seal it. So I have to post it now. I cannot play it again. Because it's kind of put me off playing my Xbox a bit. Because I know, look, I always like to play one game at a time. And at the moment, it was Deadly Premonition. And I was like, I don't want to play it. So I've sealed it and I'm going to send it off now. Because it's fucking shite. That's it. That's all I've been playing. Greg's dead.
Greg is... That is so bizarre, Mike.
I'm not dead.
Greg has just gone critical muted in my XCOM game.
Oh, that's eerie.
Don't worry, mate. Somehow muted myself. At all costs, Greg will survive. So...
I hope that is the case.
As we speak, all praise to me is rushing his way to him with the last medipack in my team to sort.
Was you muted because you was coughing your lungs out, Greg?
Possibly, yes.
Very.
Mr. Matthew, how about you? What have you been playing lately?
I've been playing games.
Games.
Yeah, games. I finished The Walking Dead.
Which oh, okay.
Last week. Yeah. I was really disappointed in the ending.
Fuck, he's dead. Really?
Yeah, it was kind of like you're going through this, and then you're doing this, and you're doing this, and all of a sudden you arrive at this moment where, oh, there was a pivotal choice that I made 3 episodes ago that actually didn't mean shit.
Yeah, that's true.
That was really annoying, and it was kind of a very tenuous link. I thought it was kind of like the Battlefield 3. What was your relationship to Flight Officer, whatever her name is? What?
Right.
It's because like at first when he brings up that kind of choice, it's quite cool. It's quite cool in a way because you go, oh shit, because that was such a you know, an afterthought. You didn't really think about that moment that he brings up, and then you think, oh, this could be really cool, but then he like Chris says. It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter.
Which is
a
shame.
Yeah.
It all that moment also was preceded by one of the more annoying action sequences in the game, which I didn't enjoy either. But whatever.
Action was not the strong suit of that game for sure.
Overall, I really enjoyed it, but the ending was kind of like, oh, that's it? Great.
You know, and I think, looking back on it, with all the hype the game was getting and people talking about it, and I'm sure us kind of, you know, going on and on about it, probably kind of painted it for Chris, and you know, Chris was really expecting some dramatic, you know, huge moment. And to be fair, as I look back on The Walking Dead, I love the game, but I definitely had issues with the story element involving Clementine getting taken. Sorry, spoilers for anybody who hasn't played it yet. And the actual ending of the game wasn't all that controversial to me.
I wouldn't say it's controversial.
Or not controversial, heart-pulling. I didn't feel the emotional, you know, pull at that point. I felt much more emotional about the game earlier than I did at the end. At the end, it was just, okay. It's we're here now. This is what we're dealing with.
Yeah, because like I was more kind of I wouldn't say emotional, but I reacted more at the end of 4 because of what happens. Because I didn't expect that, you know. I was like, wow, that's quite a cool move. Well done.
I guess I saw that coming.
I didn't see it coming at the end of 4, though. You know what I mean? It happened, I didn't think it would happen there.
Yeah. I mean, I knew it was coming eventually, I guess. Anyway. I mean, I did really enjoy the game overall. I'm glad I played it. Just the ending was a bit of a letdown, that's all.
Would you still think it's worthy of Game of the Year? Maybe not your Game of the Year, but like, you know,
It deserved to be in the discussion. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't my Game of the Year, and it still wouldn't be. It deserved to be in the discussion. So yeah.
Good. Okay.
Let's see. What else have I been playing? Played some more XCOM. And I played Omerta City of Gangsters demo.
Ah, right.
Let's hear about this.
Well, here's my noise for Omerta City of Gangsters
demo.
It's not
going to be good. I'm going to predict it's not going to be good.
And this,
It's better than I thought it would be, to be honest, Chris.
It started out kind of interesting until I got to the first combat mission, and then it was just kind of like, it was very disappointing.
These are the Tropico boys, right? They made Tropico.
I think so.
Yeah,
I believe so. Yeah.
But the whole resource. I don't even know if you want to call it resource gathering, but the whole. It's kind of like a point and click. The overworld is just kind of a point and click, almost like a Facebook game. Like you send your cronies out on missions and they go and do things.
That's exactly what Stu said last night. He said it feels like a Facebook game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't really have that much control over the actual combat.
Well, no. So those are just like the strategy missions, if you will.
Okay.
It's like a different mode.
Then you dive into the combat mode, you know, and it's somewhat like XCOM in that regard. Like you have the city map, and that's where you just kind of have the point and click and things just kind of happen. And then every now and again, you dive into a combat mission where you control your one or two, criminals and they're in a shootout with some other criminals. And I just was really, didn't like that bit. Like that was the disappointing bit. The point and click bit, I was like, okay, whatever, point and click, I can do that. But the combat was just so, it seemed old. Seemed old to me. Like I was playing an old game.
This had came out before XCOM, would you have liked it? Because maybe that's kind of swayed your opinion on what a modern day turn-based strategy game on a console or, you know, on any platform really.
Maybe not. The combat feels more like an RPG than a turn-based strategy because it's, rather than you take your turn and then the bad guys take their turn, each individual character takes their turn and they each have a different time clock, right?
Oh, so it's almost like Baldur's Gate. I don't know if you ever played that, the PC version back in the day.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like that.
Yeah, so everybody kind of has their speed rank, if you will. Yeah. So when you get into combat, it's not all your guys go and then their guys go. It's two of your guys go, then one of his guys goes, then one of your two guys go, you know, and it kind of will go back and forth.
Right, right.
Okay.
And then it was just kind of, I don't know, it just seemed, it didn't have enough to it. It just seemed dated to me. So I wasn't, I don't know. Just wasn't impressed. I'll not be buying it.
All right. Well, that's a fair assessment.
I was hopeful. I really was, but no. And certainly not after playing XCOM. XCOM is such a perfect,
it really has set the bar.
It's turn-based strategy that, yeah. Anyway, I think that's all.
Okay. Excellent. Well, thanks for that. You know, I'm going to go next because I'm going to save Rich's for last. For me, it was Halo 4 tournament and a ton of XCOM over the weekend.
XCOM.
So the Halo 4 tournament, I'll just be honest, it's not going well for our team. we are struggling. Washington Rambo and myself, we haven't got that strategy down quite right. Part of it could very well be that we get separated and don't work well as a team together, especially early on in matches.
Is there problems back home, Greg?
Yes, problems back home, exactly.
Maybe you should talk it out. Maybe it'll clear the air.
We've been trying. We've been trying. We're going to go to a counselor, see if they can't work something out with us.
Sometimes it can't be saved, though, Greg.
It may not be able to be saved. But still having fun. That all said, even though we're getting our asses kicked left and right, I'm still absolutely enjoying the tournament and just getting in there and playing competitively against other people every week. So, big ups to Womble MK for running the whole tournament. He's doing a great job. But we'll have more on that later. So I'm going to jump over to XCOM. Man, the seventh attempt at Classic and I have to say, Mr. Math, you'd be proud. I had fantastic strategies. I was not losing soldiers. I was finishing a lot of missions. I was getting deep into the game. I had at one point 13 soldiers, of which I think 11 of them were all ranked above squaddy or higher. And, you know, getting gear, really controlling my finances, satellites, the whole nine yards. And I had a mission where a large UFO had landed and we had to go assault it.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to go with a mix of two heavies, three assault, and one sniper.
Yeah, way too many assault, bro.
Well, yeah. Well, the assault, I should be fair. I shouldn't say assault. There was actually two support and one assault.
Oh, that's much
better. They all were sporting laser weapons. All had, you know, high aim assist bonuses. All were sporting the Caprice armor.
I have no idea what they're talking about.
Yes, we know, Mike.
You're the only one, Mike. Play the game.
So
shut up.
We land, and I immediately notice that the distance from where the ship set down and my troops come out and the front of the UFO, like, it's visible.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a first. I had not really experienced this before. It was
the large first. They are, at least for me, anyway.
Yeah. Well, so, and maybe it was just because I hadn't gotten this far into the game in quite some time, so I had forgotten that that happened. And again, I'm on classic Iron Man mode, so we touch down. I have basically one turn, and I start, you know, I know I've got one turn to kind of get my guys in place. I move one guy up to – there's basically a very limited set of cover spots in front of me. In fact, not enough for all of my guys to actually get into cover. But I start spreading my team up a little bit, creating a front line. And one of – probably the first three guys to move, as he moves up to a log to get set, of course, he discovers aliens. And it's Spitters, the thin men. As soon as their turn hits, and I think I've got all my guys more or less in a secured fashion, the ship opens up and just a mass of aliens dump out. I've never seen this many aliens come out at me before.
Yeah.
I had three of the brute-like creatures come out, the cyber disc with two of its support pods, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I had the thin men, and then I had floaters, and they all came out rushing me, and basically it turned into a massacre.
Nothing more annoying than floaters.
Oh my god, I lost five guys, and I tried getting at the point I lost four. I'm like, I need to get out of here. We're aborting mission. I should have aborted at three, but. It went to hell in a handbasket. People were panicking. People were getting poisoned. People were getting blown up. And I ended up getting one guy out alive.
Hmm.
Totally demoralizing. Just completely crushed me. But the good news, guys, you are all still alive in my game.
Yay.
Podcast crew is intact. I cannot say the same for many from the gate site.
Yeah. Awkward.
Well, it's, yeah. So have you researched the shivs yet?
No, I have not been able to get to the shivs.
Yeah, sometimes those are good. Like if you get hosed, having a couple of those is a good way to train up some rooks because they can scout. The thing I've discovered with the classic difficulty is I never use the soldier's second move unless I'm certain they will not come in contact with aliens. You know, I always keep that move so they can retreat, if need be.
And that was what I was doing. The unfortunate part was because we were so close.
Yeah, there wasn't anywhere to go.
I mean, literally there was nowhere to go. It was rough.
Yeah.
Still loving that game. It is a great game. And man, I think back on it. I should have fought harder for XCOM. I let you down, Chris. I let you down. I let Fraxis down. It really is deserving.
People, there's no accounting for taste, you know?
No. All right, Rich, you are up next. I know we have a special little audio segment we're going to play for you as well, so you can just let Mike know when you want that to be played, but why don't you run us through what you've been playing?
Yes. Okay, so I'll start off with a couple of little ones. Can Knockdown. I got quite a few people on the old Game Center hooking up with me, and it seemed like it was a popular game, so I went and got it. As soon as I downloaded it, I had challenges popping like crazy to play it and beat scores and stuff. So I played it, did about 826 on it score-wise, and it's just a flick game, so you just flicking balls at piles of cans type thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was my next question to you. I wasn't familiar with Can Knockdown.
That's all it is. So it's pretty basic.
Okay.
And that'd be all right. But it seemed to me as if you were just doing circuits of the same formations. So it was just a case of memorizing where you was putting it. So I got to the stage where I'd been round about 3 times doing the same formations, and I thought, nah, I've had enough of this. So it was all right. It's all right for a night.
I played it a bit.
Not much to it, is there?
No, but I was kind of like, yeah, I suppose I could. That's my review.
Yeah, that's all game. And then I got into a bit of a conversation with, I don't know which guy it was from, Void Games, but was talking about, well, they put a question out saying about, and it's a good way of gathering information for their line of work. What iOS game have you purchased and then regretted it?
I know who asked you that.
Yeah. So it's quite controversially, I put down Geometry Wars.
Okay. Is that an iPhone game?
Yeah, you can get it on the iPad and the iPhone. Now, the reason I said it, and I did say this in the tweet, was it's twin stick, twin stick. And for me, they weren't. So anyway, but that sparked off a response from the Void Games, and they recommended that I try a game called Age of Zombies. So I went out and I got that. I'll tell you what I thought of it in a minute, but my son is absolutely crackers on I Made a Game with Zombies in It on the old Xbox, the indie game. So I let him have a go, and he played it for probably about an hour or so. So he did get into it. So, Mike, if you want to play what I've given you, get his thoughts on it. Get J-Boy P's thoughts on it first.
No worries. Here we go.
Well then, James, what did you think of that zombie game?
Cool!
But what did you also think of it?
Hard.
Is it very hard?
Yeah, because there's zombies that were surrounding me.
How did you find the control system?
Hard.
Hard. Did you like the thumbsticks?
Yeah. Just like this. And then there was just everyone.
Quite in depth, I thought.
What kind of review is that?
Yeah. I think he's trying to encapsulate the amount of overwhelming numbers you get when you're playing a zombie shooter. But quite controversially, it seems as if he didn't mind the thumbsticks so much. Yeah.
No, he didn't.
He didn't seem to mind them at all, did he? Even though I was leading him to say something negative, he'd never said it. I played it as well, and it is a really good game. Looks really nice. It's got a similar sort of graphical style to Punch Quest, but it's not 2D. This is 3D, isometric type scenario. Couple of few annoying things to do with the scenery, and when you're running away from zombies, you don't want to be getting blocked by obstacles, and there's a
you
bit
don't
of
be
a
getting blocked by obstacles.
No. Now, I thought it was really good for pickups and stuff. So you got nice weapons, and you picked up grenades and things like that, which is always handy when you're killing the odd 100 zombies or so. But here's my problem, and this is what I was trying to say when we was talking about virtual twin stick shooters. You lose where you are with it, and they've tried to combat this in a number of ways, whereby you could lift your finger off the iPad or your phone, and you could move it to another place on the pad, and it will still pick up your thumbs there. That was a noble effort, I think, with any game that's now added that to it, and this has added it to it, but secondary weapons on this game. So say you pick up a grenade. What it does is it puts a button above your right thumbstick. Now, whatever you say about virtual twin stick shooters, and I don't care how good you are at it, you still have to look to negotiate where that button is. And that takes you away from the game. And it just provides a big frustration for me. And tally that up with trying to direct your guy in the right direction to throw the grenade because you're on crowd control with the zombies, then that gets really annoying. So, I think the extra effort that you can put into balancing a game which has got something like a tilt control, like you've got on Tilt to Live, if they can balance the game and give it the right amount of difficulty, so using that more rough and rugged control system, I think you get a better result. But that's just my opinion on it. James's opinion is entirely different. So Void Games, aim your games at James, because what'll happen is he'll come and nag me to buy it. So if your next game is good and addictive, then he will come and ask me to pay
for it. Oh, it is.
I think more importantly, Void Games, you need to make your game to where the reaction from reviewers is, and the controllers, and you go,
yeah, that's what you need.
It's a tough one.
But I like the strategy of gathering information like that. So Void Games, put more questions out like that, because I have
a build of their up and coming game on my phone.
Ooh,
I do. It's very good.
Is it coming to Android?
they talked about they saw a picture on Reddit or something where like a developer for Apple, and they had like, you know, about 20 devices on the table, different iPads, iPhones, and all this. And a developer for Android had like over 200 on the table, all the different tablets. I was like, yep, that's why we don't do it.
Yeah, I don't blame them.
So I'm just going to interject.
Test on every screen.
Interject, Mr. Matthew.
Yeah, just one, because Rich was talking about things that pull him out of the game. This is my final beef about The Walking Dead. There were so many things in there where, like, a zombie got hold of you and you had to start mashing one of the buttons at rapid fire pace. And it was impossible for me to do with my thumb. I had to flip the controller around and use my finger, my index finger. And that just pulled me right out of the game. I think that is something that I hope in 2013 game developers will get away. Any game mechanic that requires you to repeatedly mash a button as fast as you can, just get away with it. If you're going to put it in your game, just don't. Just don't do it.
Which leads me onto my next game.
Wow, that's a good segue.
If you like mashing buttons, you're going to love this game. Right. And this also connects to talking about Walking Dead again. Gary Witcher, who wrote one of the episodes of Walking Dead and oversaw the writing in general, if I remember rightly, he tweeted tonight about a game that's come out, and he says that you must try it. So I thought, Gary, you know what? I respect you. So I'm going to try this game.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
And the game was Arcade Craft, which is on the indie games on Xbox. Now, as soon as I put a picture up, basically, because I made my arcade, and I called it Schools Arcade, and I put a picture up on Twitter. And
This was the Veteran Gamers Indie Pick of the Week, by the way.
Which is what I was just about to go on to. Straight away, Stuart from the Veteran Gamers goes, you read Vlados's mind, because that's what we've been playing for the indie game this week. So there you go. So I've been playing this game now for, I played it for about 3.5 hours. I want to say I bought it probably within 10 minutes of getting it. Now this is only going to scratch certain people's itches. So you know that I was talking about Tapped Out and Simpsons Tapped Out. So you've got to like a little bit of that type thing. But the whole idea for the game is this, and video game lovers are going to love it. Right, you get an arcade, and it is 1980. You get given some money, and you get a bookkeeper by the name of Debbie, I think it is, or Linda, I can't remember. Anyway, she's your guide through this little adventure, and basically you've got this room, and you've got to build your own arcade. So it is one of them things where you're just managing money and stuff. You've got to collect money and all of that lot. But the beauty of it is it's all based around video games. Just like, you know, that mobile game that came out and everybody was going crazy about it, the Dev Story. Yeah, that's the hook with this game, because it's all based around arcade games. So the idea is that you buy your machine. You've got outgoings that obviously go up with the more machines you have, and you can only power a certain amount of machines on your building unless you get an upgrade to your power. All that sort of stuff happens. But it has got really nice little story incidents. So, for instance, you've got a couple of arcade machines that you've had put in, and then all of your avatar friends list will be coming in and playing these arcade games. And then all of a sudden, I might get Parsnip Nose coming in, getting pissed off with the machine that he's playing, and he starts banging it and vandalizing it. So you've got to eject him from the arcade. So you've got to go and pick him up and dump him at the doorway and get rid of him.
That's good.
So that'll happen. And then the new funky arcade games come out, and you buy them on a monthly basis. And then eventually, when the guys are coming in and playing the arcade games, they'll be saying things like lame or retro and giving you the idea that this machine's getting beyond its sell-by date. So you've got the option of selling them at any time. What you also get as well, whilst you're going along, is you'll get different visitors coming along. So you might get a nerdy arcade machine collector who's spotted that you've got a 5-year-old machine in your arcade, and he wants to offer you double the price that you paid for it in the first place. So you get the option of taking that sale. But if you were to keep an old arcade machine for a certain amount of months or years, eventually it becomes a classic. And at that point, its value increases and you get more money for it. You will also get the best arcade player in the world will come and visit your arcade, and you'll get the opportunity to let this guy play on one of your machines. Whilst he's on that machine, you cannot earn any money off it. But at the end of the time that he's been on there, if he gets his name on the high score table, then you get more people wanting to play that machine, and your arcade becomes more popular because the best arcade player in the world has got the high score on it. So then you become more popular. So you've got a popularity rating that's always in there. You will get power cuts, so all the power will go out. If you get a power cut, the solution to this is quite simple. You have to go around every single machine you've got in your arcade, pick it up and dump it down on the ground again. Pick it up and dump it down on the ground again. You'll get coin jams as well, so you will have to go and pick your arcade machine up and tap it, which is what Chris really likes doing. Tap it. And eventually all of the money will spill out and you can carry on taking earnings from it. So it's just a really great game. Every now and again, you'll get messages popping up about the fact that a video game in the arcade has been converted to home consoles. So you've now got to get rid of that machine sharpish because all the kids will be playing it at home and it's not trendy anymore. So there's little things in that. So, yeah.
It's very deep.
It's got a lot of intricacies to it. But the machines are brilliant and the atmosphere it creates is brilliant because every single machine that you buy has its own sounds. So as your arcade gets bigger, it sounds like a real arcade. And that's the best thing about it. It just really gives you the feeling of you are building your own arcade and you've got your own avatars coming in there and everything.
How much was Arcade Craft again?
It's 240 points. So it is high for an indie game, but it is well worth it. You can tell it's had good production on it. Did you get to play it, Mike, or not?
Yep.
Yeah, and what did you think?
Listen to the veteran gamers for the
you probably don't like it. Like I say, you've got to have a certain itch that you want scratching. I enjoy
All I'll say is listen to the veteran gamers and to hear what I thought. It's quite interesting.
Okay. Why do I have a feeling you said like three things about it and that was it?
No.
I didn't.
No, it's definitely more than that.
I didn't like it a lot.
I guarantee this. If you listen to the veteran gamers and hear my opinion on this arcade craft, you won't regret it. It was, you know. It was...
Fair enough. All right. I think that wraps it up, Rich, for you.
Yeah, that's about it for me.
Excellent. Excellent. That means we're going to jump into the show break. And this week, God willing, the music is courtesy of a suggestion from Data Cluster off the Twitters. He shot me over a couple different links for some different songs, so I chose one of them. And, I enjoy. And when we come back, we will finish up the show.
Sweet.
Some diamonds tonight, night, night, diamonds tonight. Heads up, you hear a sound. Turn spin around and look up. Total shock fills your body. Oh no, it's you again. I can never forget those eyes, 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 eyes. Cause baby, tonight some armor, get it baby, go and forge that like you so MLG pro, the sword's made of diamonds, so come at me bro, huh, training in your room under the torchlight, hone that form to get you ready for the big fights, every single day in the home night, creepers out prowling, alright, look at me, look at you, take my revenge, that's what I'm gonna do, I'm a warrior baby, what else is new, and my blade's gonna tear
cause
through
baby,
you,
tonight,
bring it,
the creepers trying to steal all our stuff again,
get your stuff, yeah, let's take back
yeah,
the world,
baby, tonight. Grab your sword, armor, and gold.
It's on.
Take your revenge.
All right, we are back from the break, and unfortunately, missing Mr. Christopher Matthew. Something happened on his connection, and he vanished.
Gremlins happen, Greg.
Hopefully, it is not alien invasion stuff, or gremlins, for that fact. Gremlins are nasty.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we had a question last week. I'm not going to say it was the most original question in the world,
what
but you know,
was the question, Greg?
Basic gist of the question was, really. What kind of things do you prefer, you know, want or need in your gamepad for your future consoles? And it started off with do you prefer offset thumbs or parallel thumbs, but it kind of morphed into what's crucial for you with your gamepad. So, that said, what's crucial for you?
I don't know, really. The Xbox 360 controller is pretty much the best controller I've ever played with.
Yeah.
I can't really think of anything. I mean, I don't really want a touch screen or anything on it. I'm pretty happy with the way it is. I just wish they were a little, you know, obviously with the D-pads, the good D-pad versions of it. I wish they were just a little bit more durable. They seem like the thumbsticks seem to like stick after like 6 months or a year.
Yeah, I do notice every once in a while, like with XCOM, suddenly the screen, yeah. I'll just start scrolling through the screen and I'm not doing anything.
No, although, you know, you play in a third person or a first person, it's slowly drifting to the left.
You're slowly looking right at the ground.
And it's, yeah. But it's really, I mean, you can stand it on those types of games, but it's really annoying on games like Halo Wars, or I'm sure XCOM, where you have to kind of move like a cursor type thing.
Right.
Quite annoying. I remember it used to be really annoying on snooker because, you know, snooker's always about, you know, potting the balls. And any type of sports game or anything like that, it got annoying. A little bit more durable. So it's not really like a tech thing. It's just like just make it a little bit more.
Tweak the sticks a little.
Yeah, make them a little bit more, you know, stiffer, I guess. Because the PlayStation ones never did that, and they still don't, so.
No, but ironically, the PlayStation ones also don't—they don't seem like they are as stiff. The PlayStations, well, to me, they feel much more loose. So I think the springs, the tension in the trackball for the thumbsticks, is not as high.
Mm.
That maybe that's the key.
Maybe
a little less tension.
I don't know. I don't know what it is, but like if they can not change the feel of it too much, but make them more durable. And
okay,
last longer. That's what I'll be happy with. That's the only problem I have. I can't think of any. And put, you know, the headset as well. While we're at it, you know, the headset, and like the newer headsets have the microphone mute thing in the middle of the wire.
Right, right.
And they don't have them by the controller anymore. Remember, like the first wave of them, the where you plugged it in, the mute button used to be there. That's a way better place to have a mute button, because you can just do it while you're playing, you know, the game. You don't have to move your thumb. You don't have to move your whole hand off the controller. And a little pet peeve, but I suppose that.
Okay, well, you know, these are legitimate things.
You could have a mute button on the controller.
You could. Somewhere. You could have a mute button on the controller. That.
There you go.
There you go. Game changer. Rich, what about you? What are some of your must-have things or elements that you think are crucial on your future gamepad?
I'd like them to not neglect the D-pad as much as they have done on the Xbox controller. That pro version of the controller I thought was quite funky, where you could twist it and it popped out, and it made it better for like fighty-fighty games. What else? I don't mind if they thought about putting some more buttons on, to be honest with you.
More buttons, okay.
Yeah, you know, if you know how you've got your trigger level and your bumper level?
Right, right.
From a design perspective, I would have no issues with them perhaps going with another layer as well. You know, just to add extra things that you could do. You know, because you're shifting more. One of the things they always say about conversion of PC games to consoles is, you know, you've got to fit it around this amount of control options you've got. So why not just up the amount of things you can do on the controller by sticking a few extra bumpers in there, you know.
Triple bumpers?
Yeah, I mean, if you looking at I've got one in my hand now, and if you wanted to for stuff that you're not doing a lot during gameplay, there's you could if you just naturally put your hand around. I'm doing the design thing here. If you put your hand around where the triggers are, you've got your fingertips, so that gives you the option. If you wanted, you could build out that center section where your triggers are. And have
there's like pro controllers like that are built like that.
Right. Yeah. They have additional buttons underneath for repeating and fire, that kind of thing.
Yeah, there's lots of options for doing that.
I'm not so sure about that, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you know, and again, I get what you're saying, and it's something you'd want. So I'm not going to argue that that's something you would want. I don't know necessarily from a product marketing standpoint that is a direction they would want to go, because, you know, the more complicated it becomes, the more, you know, difficult it becomes to sell to, say, the casual or the less hardcore audience.
Depends how you're selling it, though, Greg. You're right there. You're very right. right? And I don't think this is an option that you could probably get Microsoft running with. Microsoft are all about at the moment, you're the controller, we're simplifying everything. Here's your normal bog standard controller. If you want to do anything else, you can stand up, talk to me, or wave your hands, and that'll do. But from a PlayStation perspective, who are trying to gear themselves more about the serious gamer,
right?
Why not think along them lines and start driving themselves more towards what a serious PC gamer would be? That's how I'd market it.
Okay. Well, I think for me, one of the things I realized, and this was kind of more a realization of comparing the Xbox controller and the PS3 controller. I like, to be perfectly honest, I like the weight of the PS3 controller.
Really?
I wouldn't mind. Yeah, I don't mind that it's light.
I do.
Really don't.
I really do.
I wouldn't mind seeing all next generation controllers being rechargeable batteries built in.
Yeah.
Like the PS3 one, as
yeah,
opposed
that is
to
a good one. Yeah.
Battery packs. The battery packs, while it's not that big of a deal, it just is a pain to have it suddenly go out, and then you have to get a different battery pack and pop it in,
yeah.
Whereas you could just plug in a cord and be done with it. I think triggers are something to me that is very crucial, because the PS3 DualShock controller, I hate the triggers and bumper buttons set up on the controller.
They squish in, don't they? They're weird.
Well, yeah,
they're not triggers, are they? They don't curl out.
They're not triggers. Yeah, they're not triggers. They're really buttons, and I really want triggers. So that's something I for sure would want.
They must have triggers for the next lot. I mean, because they sell those peripherals where you can have click on triggers, which is ridiculous.
In fact, I own a set of those triggers.
Yeah, it just speaks for itself.
Hey, I've got another one as well. You know, them clip-on things as well.
Right.
I won't mind seeing what the... Because every time I see somebody that's like a game developer doing a video, they've always got them clip-on things on top of the joysticks. So is there something to be said for raising the height of the analog sticks?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about. The freak add-on sticks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Basically, yeah. In fact, I have a set of those too. Yeah, I think that's another thing that separates the Xbox controller with the PS3 controller. To me, the PS3 thumbsticks seem a bit higher than the Xbox thumbsticks. And I like a little bit higher thumbstick, at least for my right thumbstick. I don't necessarily need it for my left one. But yeah, to me, the triggers are probably the most critical thing that needs to be on both or any controller moving forward. They have to have a trigger kind of configuration. And I'm not opposed to some kind of like touchpad or small screen in the middle of the controller that would maybe take place of the guide buttons and the start and back buttons.
Strain your batteries more, man.
It all depends. It all depends on what they have. But I could see that being useful for, you know, maybe strategy games, being able to use it like a mouse pad. So I don't know. I think there's some room to improve for sure. But let's talk about what the community thought. I know we had some responses on the lag forum. I don't think there was anything over on the gate side, so I'm just going to read off the lag forum real quick, and then Rich, I'll have you read the Twitter responses. I put them in the notes for you, by the way.
Yes, I can see them.
I'm looking out for you, my friend. And then Mike, you will have the email to read. See, so we're all organized here. And then, you know, again, if Chris should pop back on, he is trying to reset his router. I got that message just now, so. If he pops back on, we'll bring him in. For now, the lag had a quick response from The Real Defoe. He says, I know I'm in the minority when I say I prefer the keyboard and mouse. What can I say? I'm really freaking old. As far as controllers go, I prefer the Xbox controller over the PS controller. So keyboard and mouse, he wants to see that be a mainstay. I can't support that. I played a game with the whole WASD setup the other day with keyboard and mouse, and I hated every moment of playing that game. Let's see, Krusty Old said, buttons and triggers are handy as well as thumbstick thingies. Jeez Louise, I can't talk. Not that I ever seem to be pointing in the right direction when I'm pressing triggers or buttons. So, some funny responses there. What about Twitter, Mr. Primrose? What did the tweets have to say?
Yes, we had one from Raw Finch, who said, I like the Xbox controller as it is a PS controller. The PS controller is nasty. I hope Microsoft don't put a touchscreen on the new Xbox controller. Why would they? Hmm. Too much expense.
Yeah, I think they're already going to be having a lot of expense on their next console.
Yes. And then we had Teflon212. Says, I prefer the offset design, but I can usually adjust pretty quickly to another controller. The Wii U gamepad is not bad either. Then Gangu Crimes. He put, offset thumbsticks for the win. I hate the idea of only having the touchscreen controls, so hope that never happens for consoles. And Teflon212 then put, thanks to OCCP Matthew and Rich Primrose for talking about it constantly. I'm now playing through XCOM again. Hashtag could be worse. Indeed it could be worse.
Yeah, and in fact, I think he's going through Classic Iron Man as well. So maybe Teflon can write into the show and give us one of his experiences on Classic Iron Man.
Love the Xbox stories. XCOM stories. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Mike, email.
Yes, we got an email from Andrew Gold, also known as Gangu Crimes, also known as Mr. Bed Hairdo, also known as that guy. He starts off the email with, bonjour.
I think you need to read this in a French accent.
I love to your decision on the, Hello, I can't do a French accent.
Yeah.
Pretty evident. Scrap. Duke can pretty good at a French accent. But he also shows off because he can do French. I loved your discussion on Halo 4, and I wanted to chip in. Not that you care. Lol. I was just thinking about what Chinny said about the story being confusing. I played a lot of the campaign. By the way, I said that Halo 4 is confusing. I have no idea what's going on, and it made no sense. Back to Andrew's email. I played a lot of the campaign with John Mouse from the Playable podcast, and he was also of the same opinion as Chinny. That's because John is a very sensible person. I think we're having such a laugh playing co-op, a lot of the story passed us by because we were making each other laugh all the time. I also played solo and felt like I got more out of the campaign and could follow the story. There were parts of the campaign I was let down by. For example, some dodgy AI and a lot of levels repeating themselves. Sounds like Halo to me. Go to the left side of the map, kill a few aliens, climb to the top, more aliens, go to the right side of the map, and repeat. Ugh. Anyway, I finished the campaign and still felt epic. Oh, Chinny, try slow cooking your lamb. It is so tender. Ah, man, that sweet, sweet lamb. I said that I don't like lamb.
Yes, you also said you don't like lamb.
Even.
I think the lesson here is when playing Halo 4, not to be playing it with friends, laughing, having fun, and potentially, you know, taking drugs and things that would make you forget the story, like you did, Chinny. And instead, you should play it solo for the campaign and really wrap yourself into it, enjoy the story. And then, you know, afterwards, go play with your friends, have fun.
Well, I'll put it this way. I said that to someone. I can't remember. Right, so when I was playing Gears of War 2, I played it with Marsh, my friend, right, who I played Halo 4 with. And there's a moment in Gears of War 2 where Dom shoots his wife because she's been raped or something. I can't remember what's happened to her. What happened to her? Did she?
She was captured and she was being converted.
Converted to what?
I believe into a locust.
Really?
I thought that's what they were doing in that.
They never really explained what they were doing to all those people, did they?
They might have. We just don't remember. But I thought it was like a conversion chamber where they had her loaded up into this like.
What, like, thing. So they stop them being gay and stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Don't be gay. Anyway, so we was playing Gears of War 2, and the scene came along where Dom sees his wife and sees that she's messed up now. And then Marcus says, this is my best Marcus voice, "You know what to do, Dom." All right? And right. Dom gets a gun out, shoots her in the face. All right, which is meant to be a very intense scene and all this. To which I heard Marshy's voice say, "I meant bring her back." So, yeah, it is true. When you play co-op, you are dicking about a lot. Which is also, I suppose, why me and Primrose are going to, like, it's a bit of a risk playing Dead Space 3 in co-op, because I've got, like, a big three-tentacled little baby chasing me in Dead Space, and Richard Primrose is too busy picking up all the ammo I'm dropping. I'm like, fucking hell, Primrose. But hey.
Could be worse. It could be worse. It could be Stu just stopping to check out the scenery.
Graphics. That's another thing I haven't said about Dead Space 3. You are starting to see these games age a little bit, I've noticed.
Yeah.
Dead Space 3 isn't as good looking or as impressive looking as 2.
Well, I
thought the lighting was brilliant. But I thought some of the internal stuff with the snow caves and things like that were.
I thought the start, you know, when you see his face upside down, I was like, doesn't look that great anymore.
Yeah. Right. I think one of the things that this game is going to suffer from in terms of visuals, it's both going to suffer and I think be helped out, is that it's a lot in the outside snow environment.
In the light.
Right. And so it's harder, I think, when you have long vistas to kind of draw that out.
There's just a lot of light on him now, where there was before. You know.
All right, we're used to dark corridors and you know, being inside spaceships space stations.
There's something about him shouting in that helmet that really freaks me out, though. You know when he's like, there's monsters climbing on him, and he's just shouting, and he sounds like he's shouting in a bucket. And that's a horrifying scream. And in the demo, when the whole drill thing was happening.
Oh, the drill thing pissed me off.
I was like, this is, just fuck off. Everything, just go away. Like, the drill chasing me. I'm in a circle platform. Guess what? A drill is kind of like a circular shape. And there's loads of these weird zombie things that just don't stop coming. Oh, God. And I was just like, everyone, just leave me alone. But I eventually did it. It's frustrating, but when you do it, you're like, thank God. And it's just kind of the effect the game has. It's the point. Anyway, we're talking about that device. That was Andrew's email.
All right. Well, thank you for the email and perfect timing. We're going to play the jingle. And after the jingle, we've got Christopher Matthew coming back in.
Starsky's bored. Let's do this.
Right. If you're looking for something to do on Monday nights, join the Gaming for the Elderly community for a bit of a Halo bash-up at 8 p.m. in the UK and again at 8 p.m. on the East Coast. Then
it's good fun.
Yeah, it's usually a good time. Then you got to wait till Friday, because Friday we do more Halo at 8 p.m. in the UK. Still doing the Forza Horizons thing at 8:15 in the UK, I'm assuming. Yeah. Okay. Good. F1 Racing Championship every other Sunday at 6 p.m. in the UK. Everyone is welcome, if you have F1 Racing, that is. The Veteran Gamers this week will be going old school with Gears of War 3 at 6 p.m. in the UK.
Woo!
Wow! Or whatever, however it sounds. F1 Hot Lap Challenge starts. There's a bi-weekly Hot Lap Challenge that will be using the same tracks as the championship. So take a look there and get in there. There's a Forza 4 Hot Lap Challenge. I believe we're on Hot Lap Challenge number 27. Take a look at the boards. You may have noticed, or you may not have, that I didn't say anything about Monster Mondays on Minecraft, and that is because they are no more.
They're dead.
And you may be sad about that, but don't be. Don't be, because now there's a 24/7 Minecraft server on Xbox. You must be a member of the Gaming Fraternity to join in. Send a friend's request to G4TE/Minecraft. Monday and Tuesday is survival mode. Wednesday through Sunday is set to peaceful. A new Gaming for the Elderly world is just getting underway, so get in there and get your bit of virtual land while you can.
I tried to get on tonight. I couldn't get on.
That's because they don't like you. Call of Duty Black Ops 2. If you would like to join the Gaming for the Elderly clan, contact Ginge Ninge to apply for membership. He needs a social security number, credit card, bank statements, blood sample, all those good things. Yeah. And that brings us to a special announcement from WombleMK4 about the Halo tournament.
That's me, cool, right? Mike.
Yes, that's you.
Way to go, Mike.
No worries.
Brilliant.
It's what you pay me for.
You get what you pay for.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like the Skittles commercial.
Hi there, it's WombleMK3 here with your very first of the weekly Halo 4 tournament updates. So, match week 3 is almost at an end and the early league tables are starting to take shape. In your League 1, we have Horse Burgers leading the way in the early league tables, but Betty Swallocks, Carpe Diem Arsels, and Spandex Camel Toes are keeping up with them at the moment. In EuroLeague 2, we have Ziminux, who seem to be the early team to beat, but the rest of the league seems very competitive, with most teams having the potential to beat each other. Should be interesting to watch come week 6 or 7. And last but not least, in the US League, Combat Unevolved leads the way at the moment, but that's dependent on other results from this week. But again, that league is looking super competitive, and I think it will be very hard to predict who goes to the final. And to finish off, big shout out to everyone who's playing and making this tournament a great success. Thanks for that. And of course, those who are engaging in some good old trash talking, it's certainly been keeping me amused throughout the last couple of weeks. And I mentioned to some of the team names out there as well, some absolutely fantastic names, such as Carpe Diem Arsels, Plum Flavored Tea, Spandex Camotos, and Slumdog Killionaire. Some very unique names they're adding to the fun being had. Don't forget as well to make clips of anything awesome, hilarious, or just downright idiotic and tag them with H4Tournament. That way our media team can easily find them and make awesome videos with all our clips. Well, that's it from me. Now back to your podcast hosts.
Well, that's us.
Yes. That is us.
Jesus Christ, that goes on for another 13 seconds.
It's a long song.
Yeah, and you killed the good song, man, dude. Thanks for that, Womble. Jeez. That was awesome. I love it.
I've got to buy Halo 4 just so that I can take part with them team names.
Yeah,
I just want
the team names. Yeah, team names are good. I must say, I think the U.S. board is far less competitive, from my team's standpoint. We just aren't competing, but that's okay.
We forgive you, Greg.
Remember
when we used to represent in the Forza?
Yeah.
And I was always shit. And then you came along and you was half decent. So, you know.
You know what? It's kind of like that, Rich. My thing now is I just want to keep my standing because I made the top 10 on kills out of all the leagues. They have the top 10 leaders. So, Womble, I would put in request for future audio updates if we could also get a list of the top kill leaders. That would be kind of nice.
Don't do that, Womble, because he's going to stop wanting to hear about it as soon as he's not in the top 10 anymore. So
and that's your problem as well, Greg, you see, because all you're bothered about is your stats and your rankings. Should be thinking about the team.
That's right.
You guys, you got to learn to work together.
I think I hate you right now. As right as you may be. Chris, carry on.
Oh, we're still doing this.
Yes, we're still doing this.
I thought we were talking about Halo. My bad. Let's see. So, happy birthday this week to Phil Thee. And welcome to new members, Hamster 1010, and two members who would like to remind you to check in on the forums from time to time, Saracen Prince and Tortoise Girl, who, if you don't know, is the brave spouse of our very own field correspondent, Parsnip Nose 3000.
Interesting enough, I believe she got booted from the boards because she wasn't being active enough by her husband.
Well, yes, that is his job on the board, and he is going to execute it without reservation or any favoritism.
Let's just see how that went over at the dinner table.
I imagine it went over rather quickly. They probably just like, ha, I kicked you off the board today. Ha, ha, sleep on the couch. Done. And that is not a victory, but some people did achieve victories. Kyoi no Yokan finished Devil May Cry. Amorous 89 finished Deponia and Dead Space. Korzan finished Black Ops 2. Greasy Fish Lips finished Far Cry 3. Teflon 212 finished Dishonored. NCM 8907, who I believe has stolen my gamer tag, finished Sleeping Dogs. Parsnip Nose 3000 finished Medal of Honor and Need for Speed Carbon. Medal of Honor LE. I don't know what that means.
Limited edition?
Sure. And Need for Speed Carbon. And Phil Thee finished Hitman Absolution. If you would like to have your name read out on the victory achieved as you are achieving victories, then what you need to do is finish a game. Step one. Follow at g4te.com on Twitter. Step two, spell the dot.
That was good.
I'm getting there. Take a picture of the game that you finished. Step three, with your face in the picture. Face only, please. No tallywhackers, crooked toes, old crony knuckle fingers. None of this nonsense. And tweet it to at g4te.com. We're going to announce the winner of the contest that ended on January 31st. On this very show. But if you want to get into the next round, which goes for the next 3 months, so you have until February, March, April 30th,
sure.
April 30th to get your entry in for the next drawing, then do it. Get out there and achieve some victories. And speaking of achieving victories, I believe we have a very special, heavily foreshadowed and already spoiled announcement from Mr. Tortoise.
That's you, Mike.
That's me.
Mike is not Mr. Tortoise.
No.
No, I'm not.
That's his cue. That's his cue.
That's your cue, Mike.
Yeah.
So the spotlight
thing. If we were on a TV set. Yeah, if we were on a TV set, we'd be pointing at you right now. Camera three, go! Yeah.
The camera would be awkwardly on you, and you'd be like...
Right. Get off me! Go to him. Go to him.
Okay, here we go.
Hello, everybody. This is Parsnip Nose with another one of his weekly community spot. What's that? Oh,
he's getting creative in here with these.
This is brilliant. I love it.
All right, I'll carry this on.
Old-fangled Morse code machine that I completely forgot I had. I better read the message. Excuse me, it's important. Oh, it's Shinyverse. He says that he's picked the winner of the Victory Achieved competition. So, he wants me to tell you who it is. My goodness, what a surprise. I wasn't expecting that at all. Okay, well, according to Shiny, 33 people this quarter finished 156 games. That's 156 victories. And apparently, it's three times more than we managed to do last quarter. So, that is pretty good. And the person who finished the most was Amras89 with 4 million games finished. Oh, no, hold on. 17. My Morse code reading skills aren't very good. Anyway, so on to the winner. Insert fanfare here. The winner is That was my fanfare. Filthy.
I believe he
Phil
just
Olsen.
Ripped ass into
he
his
finished
microphone.
Five games, but he was the lucky winner of the draw, and he wins a castle in Scotland, courtesy of Shinyverse. Isn't that nice of him? Very generous. Last month, it was only some Microsoft points. I think there might be some small print there, though. Anyway, well done, Filthy. Well done, everybody, for those 156 victories. To think that between us as a community, we finished 156 games in 3 months really is quite astounding. Anyway, that's it from me. Over to you people back in the studio. Bye-bye.
Well done. Well done, Parsnip. I'm not sure what I liked more, the Morse code sound, which was just, that was perfectly done, or the commentary after the foghorn sound, which, with Chris coming in, I think he just ripped ass.
It sounded like he did. It really did. It sounded like he just put his microphone and just freaking sharded on it.
Ah, all right. Well, congratulations, Filthy.
Well done, Filthy.
Well done, yep. Phil.
And, you know, a big congrats to Amaras, 89. 17 games. That is a ton of games to finish. Well done.
Actually, given that the average DVD only weighs a couple ounces, I don't think it's a ton.
Oh, yeah. This show's about over.
Aren't you glad?
I am. I'm tired now.
Aren't you glad I didn't say banana? Ah.
What? Yeah. What just happened?
Moving on.
It's an old knock knock joke from a long time ago. Don't worry about it.
We're moving on because we're going to talk spicy cabbage right
spicy
now.
Spicy cabbage. You,
spicy cabbage.
What? No, we're not going to talk about spicy cabbage because that's something deviant that Primrose is going to tell us about later. What we can talk about is if you want to check out the first in a series of recipes that I've posted, tangy cabbage salad. Tangy, Greg.
I like spicy cabbage far better than tangy cabbage.
Well,
just saying.
You would, being from California.
Yeah, I would.
Anyway, it's a bit of a coleslaw recipe that I like that doesn't involve any mayonnaise. It is instead flavored with vinegar and soy sauce and olive oil. Very good. And what I'm going to do over the next few weeks is show you how to use it creatively. It's a great side dish, but it also makes a great topping for some other recipes. So
this is going to be safe for work, right?
Huh?
It's going to be safe for work, right?
Tangy cabbage salad is safe for work, yes. Spicy cabbage, whatever you guys do with that, I don't know. It might not be.
Oh, all right. So, Mr. Matthew, again, thank you very much for the Gamers Grill stuff. It's been awesome. I know a lot of the community has really enjoyed your recipes, and they've been checking it out. There's other articles up on there. By all means, check out the Indie Writer Block. It's on the front page of the Gate site, g4te.com. And if you want to write yourself, you can, certainly. All you need to do is contact Jay Schumacher at iwb@g4te.com. Send him an email. He'll hook you up. Or you could also just shoot him a tweet at iwblock. And Jay, again, is kind of managing that whole scene and allowing people to put up some creative stuff into there. iTunes reviews. We don't have any new ones, which means we need some. So if you haven't sent us an iTunes review yet, but you listen to the show, we know there's quite a few of you out there that are like the quiet types. You don't like to do much. But you know what? Step out of your comfort zone. Give us an iTunes review. It helps us get farther up on the listings. It helps more people find us. It's a good thing. If you want to email the show, you can send us an email to ocpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to send a tweet to the show and try and guess if it's Rich or myself responding to you. That's @OC_podcast. And we have a voicemail thing that every so often somebody uses. So if you're in the U.S., Teflon212, I'm telling you right now, you can call us at 626-50-OC-POD. And it's just 626-506-2763. Leave us a voicemail. We'll throw it onto the show. Might make fun of you too, but at least your voice will be heard.
I will definitely make fun.
Yeah, yeah, that, yeah.
Oh yeah, that's happening.
All right, so shout outs. Mike, go.
I'm going to shout out Cloudy Lemonade, big fan. Also, shout out to the High Low Wars posse. There's only three of us. and you're one of them.
I have retrieved my copy of Halo Wars from storage, so I have it.
So good.
Oh, the posse has grown.
Played it again this week for the first time this year. Still love it. Still a great game in it. Oh, so yeah. Good. So, yeah, just letting everyone know that I'm playing Halo Wars again. So shout out to Ensemble, that I no longer exist. And the Halo Wars crew. No one. That's it really. I haven't got much. So Chris, off to you.
Okay. I'm going to shout out, Susan Linden Hall, our Facebook fan of the week. I think she and Kim Woods just take turns being the fan of the week. So keep it up. Someone needs to comment on the Facebook wall. Maybe someday it'll catch on. Now, I'm going to shout out Shinyverse for all the work he's been doing with the IWB and with the Victory Achieved contest. I'm going to shout out Parsip Nose because I didn't know he had a submarine. That's pretty awesome. And Denver J asked, that I give a shout out to all of his worthy opponents in Can Knockdown, which is, I guess, a game that you can play on your iPhone. And he says, let him know, quote, I'm sorry I destroyed all of you, end quote. So I think he might be throwing down the gauntlet.
Shit.
I asked him to give me some names. He said, you know who you are. So get out there and knock down some cans. Rich, go.
I'm just going to shout out Susan Lindell Hall, SLH, because she just bravely gave up her life for Greg DeLacy in XCOM. So big shout out to her. Tuscan77, who had a little bit of a discussion with him, got in new PlayStation and stuff on Twitter. Gangu Crimes, because he asked to see Country and Western Mike Chin. So I dutifully obliged him with Country and Western Mike Chin.
Not me.
Yep.
It is.
Also, David Turner, as I mentioned from JoyPod, for doing a brilliant intro in his podcast, because basically he's gone out and got married, and he very bravely broadcast his brother's best man speech from his wedding, which consisted of his brother basically ripping the crap out of the fact that he does video game podcasts and playing various little bits from one of his episodes of his podcast, and the reaction of 150 people in a room when hearing somebody doing nerdy podcasting is very funny, and I thought it was great. And also Shinyverse, me and Shinyverse were talking on Twitter, because I'd put up that I put a new mix on SoundCloud, so don't know, I've got mixes up on SoundCloud from the DJing thing, and he thought it'd be quite a good idea to do something community based, because he says there's quite a few people that do a bit of the mixing and the shuffling with the musics. So we've set up something, we've set a forum up, a thread that's there on G4TE, and if anybody's interested, they're more than welcome to jump in. But what we're going to do is, people put the name down, and we'll do a half-hour segment each. So you can play whatever kind of music you like, whether it be rock music, dubstep, jungle, dance music, rock music, whatever, indie music. And what will happen is, the person who's done their segment will pass on the last track to the next person, and then eventually we will have a number of half-hour mixes, and we will stitch them together with the magic of computers, and then hopefully we'll get it put on the front page of Gate. And maybe, just maybe, Greg might allow us to stitch it on the end of the podcast as well, just so it doesn't get in the way of anything.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Maybe.
We'll see. And also, another thing on the DJing thing, I'm speaking to Terraform, which is Peter, Mr. Killer Cranky. I'm going to shout out Ranger, even though he's not got in touch yet, but all people I've just been talking about music with over the last week. And last one. This is the last one.
This time I mean it.
Yeah. Great television. Great British television. You don't often get great British television, so I'm going to spout off about it. It's all available on demand, but there's been 4 episodes shown up to yet. Channel 4, it's gone under the radar, but it is brilliant. And I think a lot of people that like video games will appreciate this. It's not specifically about video games, but it's got a lot of good ideas in it.
Is it a comic book store, is it?
It's basically... the program's Utopia. It's on Channel 4 at the moment. It's on Tuesday nights. And the story revolves around a mythical missing edition of a graphic novel. And it's a load of people that are on social forums and stuff that get together and start hunting this down. Now, it sounds a bit weird and wonderful, and it is. It's got loads of twists and turns in it, and it's all about conspiracy theories and stuff. And I'll not spoil any of it, but I'll just give you an idea of what it's like. It's like a mix of Clockwork Orange meets Shaun of the Dead, and they have a love child, and that love child is an English version of No Country for Old Men. Make of that what you will. But ooh, it's there, yeah. It's on demand, it's free to watch, so try it. It's worth it.
Okay.
It's me done, Greg.
All right, I want to shout out at Data Cluster again for his recommendations for the different music choices. I also would like to thank SLH. For giving up her life for me in Rich's XCOM game. I appreciate it. I won't let you down. I will continue to perform at the level of excellence.
Was there something going off there, Greg? Because, you know, don't lay down your life easily for stuff like that. I did notice there were some long glances across the mess hall, you know, before you went out on that mission. So,
well, you know, you fight together, you're in close quarters like that. You know, you have certain feelings. That can get, you know.
Maybe she'll talk to us from the grave.
Let's just stop this conversation here.
Yeah, we're stopping this conversation. More importantly, I'm going to call out Gabe Newell.
Why? What's he done now?
So recently he was at the LBJ School for Public Affairs giving a talk about game design and going through it. And he made a comment. Single player games are like a feature film where your lead actor is retarded and autistic. But you can think of it like a feature film. Now, I realize I may be oversensitive to this, having a child with special needs. But, Gabe, your comment is offensive. And I don't care that it might be, you know, contextually, you know, being put in a different light and that you were trying to make a point. You have to be smarter about that, especially someone in your position.
Especially for someone who's so smart.
I was really, really let down when I saw that comment from him. I don't think you should ever be making that kind of equation in any kind of speech you're giving. So,
is that a broadcast that was broadcast, or is it like a quote from that?
Within, I believe it was also recorded. I think you can catch it on like YouTube. But I had the quotes taken from his speech. So
seems
anyway,
very uncharacteristic, but
well, he was trying to get across a point. And a lot of people are trying to defend it, saying, well, he didn't mean it in a negative way. The problem is when you equate something to, you know, you draw this equation of this is like dealing with somebody, you know, that an actor that is retarded and autistic, you're basically conveying that this is a bad thing. And, you know, again, maybe I'm just being oversensitive to it.
No.
But, Gabe, I think you owe a huge apology.
Yeah, big faux pas, that, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I would be one of the ones that stands up for Gabe Newell, because I've got a big respect from him for his recent podcast he did for The Nerdist. But, That, my friend, cannot be condoned. Sort yourself out, man.
There you go.
You just mentioned something. That's I agree with you, Greg. I don't think you should have made such a silly comment. But changing the subject.
Changing the subject.
You mentioned the Nerdist podcast there, Rich.
Yes.
I'm going to share the Nerdist podcast, actually. Because
that's a good one.
That is a fucking good podcast. I really like that. I always skip the kind of 30-second blurb they do at the start. Sponsored by this, sponsored by that. Shut up.
Yeah.
But you know they got to get they got to get pizzaid. You know, I get it. Whatever, fine. But I always skip it. But like, that's a great part. I was listening to the Will Ferrell one, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. There's a Bryan Cranston one that I haven't listened to yet. Epic Meal Time was on there. Really impressed with it. They are very, very good at making the talent feel at ease. You know, they just talk to them like normal people. And they obviously have a lot of connections with the showbiz world and they've met some of them before. But I'm listening to the Tom Hanks one and like you just see a side of Tom Hanks that you've never really heard before. And he's just talking about like, how he did like six films back to back and you know, how the little guy that played young Forrest, in Forrest Gump was served his time in Afghanistan. He's just, and they're not really talking about anything. It's not Spiel. It's just really him. He's just a normal guy and it's just really cool. So I'm going to share it at the Nerdist podcast because they're great.
Whoever's on it as well is never selling anything. Which is brilliant.
Well, I mean, Joseph Gordon-Levitt was on there for Looper, but they barely mentioned it. They just went, what was it like working with Bruce? And he was like, oh yeah, it was good. And then, you know, and they mentioned some stuff.
Gentlemen, let's bring this to a closure here. So in summation, what you're trying to say, Mike, and what you're trying to say, Rich, if you want to listen to a good podcast, it's not this show. It's the Nerdist.
It could be both shows. Like,
right. I don't know why you listen to this. This is awful.
Yeah, that's it. We're done.
Sweet.
We're out of here.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.
No, they have moved it.
JP Review.
I'm
already doing it, too.
Fuck you.
Yeah, mine's almost done.
So you've got to send it. Oh, there you go. Import settings. There you go. AAC encoder. Change that to MP3 encoder. Job done.
Where?
Right. In general.
Oh, that's right.
When you insert a CD, ask import CD, and then it's got import settings. If you if you change that to MP3, when you do
it's in Skype, Mike. It's in Skype.
Oh, now it is.
Yeah. Suck it.
Right, come on. Let's do this. I've got to take kids to school in the morning.
Yeah, I'll go to work in the morning. I've got shit to do.
All right.
I'm not this snooty tooty student anymore, Greg. I have to fucking do things.
Hey, man. I'm all about the podcast.
Hey, man, what are you really into?
Hey, man, we're in some really shit now, man.
There we go.
I'm waiting.
Sorry.
What are we waiting on?
Everyone just shut up.
All right, everyone shut up.
Shoot your goddamn Skittles, Greg.
I hate you guys.
Oh no, he's gonna start coughing again.
Great. What virus am I gonna open up to? Yeah, that is a little bit on the raunchy side, Mr.
No, it's not. It's fine. It's humorous.
Yeah,
I'm going to get her a chocolate cake.
Smart call.
I can't believe they're going to show this on TV. Was this going to be in the cinemas?
It wasn't going to be over here, that's for damn sure.
He's got an American accent.
No way. No way was that an actual commercial.
It was. It was banned.
There's Mike.
Yeah, I no way does a advertising agency actually think that is a good idea.
Hey, Greg, let's not get in depth about it. Let's just enjoy it for what it was.
Why, you son of a bitch.
Come on, Greg, shoot that bastard.
Super Hexagon Man.
Missed.
Damn it. Why did I miss?
Yeah.
Come on, Mr. Matthew.
Pete,
jump back in.
Pete Red Dog. He missed as well. Fuck's sake, Pete. Come on. Sort it out.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, at one point, my entire, like, all five people missed on their reaction shots against the frickin' cyber disk.
Yeah.
And that was the, like, the critical thing. Had we been able to take out the cyber disk, that whole firefight would have gone differently. As is, I got fucked.
You know who didn't miss?
Hmm.
Christopher Matthew.
He's good like that.
He got 9 off him. Well done, Chris. Even though you're not here.
Are we on? Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
You can just start talking.
I am.
Like right now.
No.
Wait. Yet? No? Huh?
I love scotch. Scotch.
Payback.
Yes.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.